Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or to discuss the real-life important issues you face right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or to help you remember, 844-32-BASIC. Either way, it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Got a wonderful email from Teresa, who lives in Long Island, New York, and she was commenting on the Proof CD. Really enjoyed listening to that and was anxious to get more copies to send out some friends and loved ones. But she said, there's a portion of Scripture that blessed me tremendously when I read it for the first time. It gave me a visual I could never forget, and I hope it blesses someone today. And it said, she asked, would you please read Hebrews 10, 11, 12, and then says, God bless you all, my brothers. I love you, Teresa. Very encouraging email. But I thought we would take the opportunity today to read Hebrews 10, 11 and 12, because it is a very significant passage. And I responded to her in my email back saying, you know, if you ever want to know what the words "it is finished" mean, Hebrews 10 is the passage to go to. And here we see it in full detail. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? Because his work in regards to sin, taking it away once and for all, was finished. I think that's the greatest news that we could ever experience, is knowing that his work is done. And Andrew, this is a fabulous passage, isn't it?
Oh, and it's a sweet spot of the gospel if there ever was one. Ephesians 4 says he forgave us, past tense. 1 John 2 says we have been forgiven. Colossians 2 says he forgave us all our sins, past tense. I mean, whether you're looking in Hebrews or Ephesians or Colossians, it is a finished work. And the reason it's finished is because of this blood economy. You know, back in the Middle Ages in the Sahara Desert, Bob, they would pay for stuff with salt. I mean, literally, that was their form of currency, was salt. And so we look at that and we think that's odd, that's unusual. Well, God's currency for sins is blood. And we think that's odd, that's unusual. It's not apologies, it's blood. And so because Jesus died and he shed his blood, and he shed his blood once, and it worked the first time, that's why we call this the finished work of Christ. That's why Jesus is sitting down, because it's a finished work and our sins have been taken away forever. And yeah, that is a big deal. That's something to shout from the rooftops, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And because of his finished work, we are forgiven people. If you're struggling with forgiveness, you're struggling with guilt, with shame, with fear, any of those things, I hope these powerful words from the writer of Hebrews will bring you a source of encouragement today and will enable you to finally rest in Christ's finished work. That is the door that leads into life everlasting, abundant, and free.
Absolutely. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. If you have a question, if you'd like to join the conversation, why, give us a call, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Ivy, who writes to us from Brooklyn, New York. Says, I grew up with my grandparents, and they had very legalistic views. I stopped going to church at the age of 13 and did not return to Christ until the age of 37. I lived a very sinful life in the years that I was separated from Jesus. Now I love my church, I love Christ in my life, and I am grateful for your program. Listening to you guys has helped me let go of my past and embrace my future and allow the Holy Spirit to live in me. But I have a question. In the summertime, I enjoy an ice-cold beer on a hot day, and sometimes I get out to dinner, and I like to have a glass of wine. Well, Jesus made wine, so obviously wine is not a bad thing, right? Is it safe to say that as long as a person does not get drunk or abuse alcohol, that it's okay to have a beer or a glass of wine once in a while? That's from Ivy in Brooklyn, New York.
Well, first, I want to say thanks for the encouragement. Some really, really nice things that he said about the broadcast. And we're certainly grateful that God used this platform to connect him to the love of Christ, to allow him to see that Christianity isn't what he grew up with all the rules and regulations and the religious aspect of it, but it really is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ because of the great love God has for us. So we're so grateful for that. Now, as far as drinking alcohol, is there any place in the Word of God, guys, that prohibits us from drinking alcohol? Is there one verse that we can point to?
No. I mean, you know, in Ephesians, it says don't be drunk with wine. This is in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with God's Spirit. And that's talking about, you know, just saying don't let a liquid control you. Don't let a liquid be your source of peace, your source of false rest. But instead, look to the love of God to be your source of peace and the love of God to be your rest. Jesus did create wine, and apparently it was the best wine the people had ever had. And I know that it's very popular for some folks out there, Bob, to try to say that the wine back then wasn't alcoholic or something like that. But, you know, if that were the case, then Paul would never even have needed to say don't be drunk with wine, because you can't get drunk off of Welch's grape juice. So, you know, basically our Heavenly Father is trusting us. He's putting us in a place of respect and trust, and he's saying, you know, there's no life in alcohol abuse. There's no life in drug abuse. There's no life in substance abuse. And so be careful. You know, something might be permissible, but it doesn't mean that it's profitable for you to take it into excess. And so I think that's where we come back to the fruit of the Spirit, guys, and we say, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So I'm not going to live under a law that says thou shalt never take a drink, but instead I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit in me to be self-control so that I don't drink in excess. And that's just making my grace living and my grace giving and my grace drinking, if you want to call it that. It's all coming from the same source, and that is Jesus Christ is in control.
Yeah, the issue, it turns out, especially under the new covenant, is not what behaviors can I participate in safely. The issue is, am I demonstrating the love of God to someone else? Am I using my freedom to cause someone else pain or doubt or things like that? And so as Bob likes to say, the purpose of living has been raised so much higher now because we get to ask the Spirit, show me how to respond in love in every situation. And in some of those situations, okay, you had a glass of wine. But I guarantee you, if you knew that the person you were with is a recovering alcoholic, you're going to do something else because the Spirit will lead you to do something else. It's not legalism. It's love on display.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, Ivy, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And we have plenty of open lines. We want you to be a part of this broadcast by phone at 844-322-2742. As I've said so many times, we are on the air live solely for the purpose of you asking a question and getting an immediate answer or discussing your particular life issue. So give us a call, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me. And thank you for joining us, everybody. Another question from Leonard, who writes to us. And, you know, we talk about the importance of our listeners standing with us and becoming partners in giving. This comes at it from a different angle. And this is, as I said, from Leonard in Waco, Texas. He says, thank you for your great program. I listen in Austin in my car when I'm traveling for work. I appreciate your sound biblical response to questions aired. Very informational, very inspiring. Bless y'all for what you do. That's a Texasism, of course. Separately, he says, how do you expand into other markets? I know there are many who would benefit from your program, just like I am, many who aren't currently able to hear you over the air. Thanks again for your program. So I think it's a good opportunity to explain to our listeners just exactly why it's important for them to stand with us.
Yes, indeed. I mean, this is a listener-supported radio broadcast, so we rely on contributions from our listeners, those who have benefited from the ministry, who really know what this gospel message is and have sensed God's Spirit moving in their heart to support, to help get the word out and into the lives of other folks. And I know our passion here at Basic Gospel is to connect as many people to the love of Christ as we possibly can through every medium that we possibly can take advantage of. Well, all of those things need money to make happen. Airtime, there's a cost to that. I still think radio gives the biggest bang for every dollar that is given, yeah, as far as ministry results are concerned. But it does take people coming together and sharing of their time, their talents, their resources to make a ministry possible. And so I greatly appreciate his question. So how do we expand into other markets? Well, when there's enough money in the bank account to do so. Mm-hmm. Right. We never want to get ahead of God. We never want to presume on his provision, so to speak.
And his timetable.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So we think if we're going to go on to a station, that God can provide funding for that beforehand, that he can help seed that and get us started. So we're asking people to give generously, to be a part of what God is doing through this outreach. I think there's no better cause to support than the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I know many people say that's what they do, and that's fine. But I know through this broadcast there's some practical handles to this gospel message that are being delivered in such a way where folks understand what it means to truly walk in the fullness of God's love and grace. Yeah. They're able to hear, believe, and live it out. And so when we're asking you to invest, we're asking you to invest in God's taking people through that process so that they can experience a life that truly is abundant and free.
Absolutely. And friends, if you have yet to join us, we encourage you to do that. As Bob said, we would love to have that partnership with you and expand this ministry to more and more eager ears. You can do that by going online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a donation link there on the front page at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Grace and peace to you, brothers, in abundance. How are you feeling today?
Doing super. Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Good. I just wanted to respond about Christians drinking alcohol. I know Scripture doesn't have a verse like what you guys are saying that prohibits us from drinking alcohol, but I also think we should read 1 Corinthians, when the Apostle Paul is speaking about our temples and how our temples should be sanctified. So I think that we should use wisdom from the Holy Spirit to know that if we drink alcohol, a lot of alcohol, we can be addicted to drink and become an alcoholic. Or if we have parents that were alcoholics, we have to use wisdom to know that. So sometimes it's good to keep away from it if that runs in your family. But I just think that it's not, the Bible doesn't say you shouldn't drink it, but I don't think that we should drink it, like drink large amounts of it.
Yeah. Well, Eugene, you raise a good point in the sense of decision-making. Mm-hmm. How do we make decisions as believers in Christ? And it gets down to motivation, doesn't it, Andrew and Richard, as far as what is motivating us? Are we allowing guilt to motivate us? Are we allowing rules and regulations to motivate us? Are we allowing the love of God and the wisdom of God to motivate us? Because a decision may look the same on the surface externally, but inside it's a completely different picture. If you're motivated by guilt, that decision you make and that behavior you're doing on the outside will soon become a trap. It will soon lock you in, and you're going to be a frustrated person. But if you've allowed the love of God to move in your heart and to bring you to a decision, the wisdom of God to bring you to a decision, you're going to experience freedom in that area. And it's a big, big difference, isn't it, Andrew?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, Bob, what you're saying there reminds me of Paul addressing the Corinthians. And a lot of people don't really understand what he's after there, but he addresses them in two different situations. Number one is shopping in a public area where they're going to eat meat sacrificed to idols. And then the other is in a private area when they're over at somebody's house and someone says, hey, Christian, here's some meat sacrificed to idols. And then they sort of snicker to themselves, are you going to eat it? And so Paul gives two very different answers. First of all, he says, look, if you're just shopping out there, you can't just look over your shoulder every time you're in the supermarket. You need to be yourself. And so you know that there's no other gods. You know that there's no idols out there that amount to anything. So go ahead and eat whatever is sold in the meat market, and don't worry about matters of conscience. At least your own conscience can be clear, because meat sacrificed to idols is nothing. But wait a minute now. If you're in someone's home and they make a big deal out of it, well, then don't eat it, but not for your conscience' sake, for their sake. And so what we find is not that, hey, we've got to look over our shoulder the rest of our lives and be in the impossible business of pleasing everyone. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, go ahead and go through life and be yourself and have your convictions before God. But when it comes to a private matter with you and another person, like Richard was talking about earlier, then express love to them. And if they see it as a matter of conscience and you're in their home, well, then live from love and consider them and consider their needs. And I think Eugene's call plays into that. If you're dealing with a person who's got alcohol addiction, or it's in their family, or they're very sensitive about it, let's go ahead and use our freedom, but not as an opportunity for the flesh, but instead to love one another.
Well said. Well said, Andrew.
Yes, indeed.
Eugene, does that help?
Yes, very much so. I agree very much. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. Time on the clock, friends. We want to hear from you, 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, 844-322-2742. Guys, from Sterling Heights, Michigan, Stephanie writes, this is more of a comment, but I think perhaps we can offer some ideas for her as well. She says, I would like, first of all, to say thank you for such an awesome ministry. You're spreading the truth about the basic gospel is amazing. Its simplicity makes it so easy to be able to learn the Word of God via the Bible and apply it into our lives daily. What a true blessing for believers. Can you point me to resources I can use in my walk to become a true disciple and accurately share the good news? She goes on to say, I'm currently looking to join a church where I'm able to serve and grow. However, what I'm finding is that most are centered around tradition and error as opposed to teaching the true basic gospel. I'm really focused on sharing the good news of the gospel based on truth and not error. Can we offer Stephanie some ideas and give her some input?
Well, I think we have a wonderful resource, a Bible study guide called The New Covenant Journey. And it's the first in our basic gospel study guide series, but it's a primer. It gives the big picture view of the good news of Jesus Christ through the lens of the new covenant. Andrew, at the conference this past weekend, I think that was the most requested or most purchased resource on our book table. Many of the folks from the ministry offices around the country in Network 220, they were looking for resources, and they were very anxious to get that and put that in practice in some Bible study settings. So that's a wonderful place, because it drives a person into the Word of God. And there's questions that are asked in the Bible study guide. And you ponder those questions, you look at the passage, you try to see what the passage has to say, and it helps you draw some conclusions about this great work that Christ has accomplished on your behalf. So that's where I would direct her, to our study guide, mm-hmm. The New Covenant Journey.
Yeah, and you can find that by visiting store.basicgospel.net. And in addition to the New Covenant Journey, there are many resources to aid you towards spiritual growth and maturity and the basic gospel. Richard?
There was another part of her question that troubled me a little bit, and that is that there's an assumption that the only place to serve is at a church. That's maybe overstating it, but that's for the context in which she wrote it. You can serve anywhere the Spirit sends you. You can start your own little Bible study group. You can serve someone at your job, out on the street. Just let the Spirit tell you what to do and follow Him, and you will be meeting people where they are.
Yeah, good input.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Greenwich, Connecticut, and talk with Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. Good. So, Mike, I would like to follow on with the discussion you've been having and bring up the topic in the Old Testament of a Nazirite. And at the same time, I wonder, as we talk about living in the love of God, that means living in the obedience of God. And then I'd like to hear what you guys think about using not just the Ten Commandments, but other portions of the Old Testament law as they apply to Christians today. I know we live in a new covenant, but it's the same God, and there's a reason why God had his people live that way, live in the Levitical law. And so I'd like to hear your opinions, because we're studying Leviticus, and I just don't know what to do with a lot of these laws, these rules.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scott, I think, it starts with doing what the New Testament tells us to do with them, and that is put them in a spiritual perspective of the fact that, a Christian who's living on this side of the cross, who is under the new covenant, as you mentioned, I mean, the scripture tells us that we are dead to the law and that we are not under the law. And Galatians says we're not supervised by the law. And Romans tells us that Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. So when we get to this Nazirite vow, for example, it's not just about avoiding wine. It's also about avoiding use of vinegar. It's also about not cutting your hair. Unless my hair is 2 or 3 or 5 feet long right now, I'm obviously not holding to that Nazirite vow. So, you know, the problem is when we become pickers and choosers in the Old Testament law, that's the issue with it. If people say, well, we still need to follow some of the laws, you say, well, which ones? Well, that's how we got broken up in all kinds of denominations with divisions and factions. We become cherry pickers of God's law when in fact there's a new covenant that says we're dead to all of that. So it's 613 Old Testament laws, and we really don't have the right to go to the buffet line of law and become pickers or choosers. James says if you keep the whole law and stumble in one point, you're guilty of all of it. So it's an all or nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm. We are guilty. That's why we need a Savior. But by the same token, as a response to our being saved, I want, or we should want, to do exactly what God wants us to do, to live in.
All right, well, let's test that out. Let's test it out. Do you want to have really long hair, and do you want to avoid work on Saturdays?
Okay, so here's the issue. It's our tradition that we live in right now that says to us, you know, men have to cut their hair, or women have to speak in church. It's our tradition.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Scott. We're running out of time. We're running out of time. You can kind of hear the music in the background, and I hear what you're saying, but then we just get into the business of making it about length of hair and making it about a certain day that we reserve for the Lord, when really every day belongs to the Lord. And under the new covenant, whether you've got blonde hair or brown hair or short hair or long hair, I mean, God wants our hearts. And as we look through the New Testament, we are not left in a clueless state. There are dozens and dozens of behavior passages that show us what the Spirit of God is up to in and through us. And so we don't have to search through the law to find the heart of God. Today, we've got his heart living inside of us.
Well, Scott, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate that great question. I had that today at a Bible study, and somebody said, what is the priority of God for our lives? And it's simply to trust the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, to have that heart of faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
And from there flows all kinds of good things.
Yeah. Well, friends, if you're new to this program called Basic Gospel, we have a special gift for you. Among other important things, you'll receive a copy of our booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. And for your gift, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click the graphic in the lower left corner of the home page. And again, that's the lower left corner of the home page at Basic Gospel. We would love to have you get a copy of this booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew of the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.